Welcome to the August 18th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 through 23, and the sermon is entitled, The Giving and the Gleaning, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
My prayer this morning is as you take your copy of God's Word, you open it to the second chapter of the book of Ruth, is that you understand and that you know you're not here by accident. And just as we talked in the sermon a couple of weeks ago, there are no accidents when it comes to God. Now, I don't know how you would describe the blessings of God. Some of you may describe the blessings of God when somebody sneezes, what is their response? Bless you. And I don't know why we do that. I'll have to look that up. I didn't do my homework on that one. But we do. We say bless you. When we think about the blessings, maybe when somebody asks you, are you blessed of God? You say, yeah, I'm blessed of God. But when you're asked to account for those blessings, you have trouble writing them down. Just in a show of hands real quick this morning, do me a favor. How many of you know you're blessed by the hand of God? Absolutely we are. We understand that and we know, and then when we go to count those blessings, we have trouble trying to put exactly what those blessings are. This is one sermon that I wanted to be honest with you, throw out the window this morning. As I prayed over it, I hope that you hear the message, because here's what we're guilty of. We're guilty of attributing the blessings of a car and a house and a warm meal and a nice warm place to lay our head. We say we're blessed. And please don't confuse this. We are blessed. But how do you convey the blessing of God to someone that doesn't have the car or doesn't have the home or doesn't understand it? How do we go to the third world country and tell them about Jesus and His many blessings, knowing they will never live in a three-bedroom home? And so from the bottom of my spirit today, the message that you will hear comes from a place of work. It comes from the dusty barley field. I'm grateful and thankful that I grew up on a farm. And that farm taught me a lot as a little kid. It taught me what hard work really meant. It taught me when I grew up, I didn't want to pick up square bales of hay. Guess what I did yesterday? Picked up square bales of hay. It taught me hard work. But on that same farm, I can remember a grandfather burning a pile of leaves and telling me that hell was much hotter than that. And so the blessing, if we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. And if we're definitely not careful, we will miss the blessing of God. And the blessing of God, and what I want to challenge my church, the flock today, is this. Do not be content with the blessing to hoard it all for yourself. There is somebody in your path that God wants to use the blessing that He has gifted you to bless somebody else with. Some people may never know the blessings of God if you don't open your mouth, Christians. And so today, that sets the table from what we're going to understand through God's Word. I want you to understand through Scripture today that God gives, but Ruth gleans. God gives, but Ruth gleans. And some of the blessings of God, we are reminded that we must work for. And in this hard and dusty field today, God has made a way for this woman who has no husband. This woman that has a mother-in-law to take care of. This woman that has no family, it has no country, has no background to understand what the blessings of God look like. Last week, you remember that Ruth caught the attention of a man by the name of Boaz. And today I want to shed light on a little bit more of how he caught her attention. It wasn't just that she looked good, but she was a hard worker. And that hard work caught the attention of this man. And so today, the title of this message is this: The Giving and the Gleaning. And so today, I pray that you see God at work, not only in the circumstances of life, but through the people that He puts in your field. Let's look together, Ruth chapter number 2, starting with verse number 11. And I want to say this before I get into this. We are picking this up mid-conversation between Ruth and Boaz. And Ruth, in verse number 10, last week, asked Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shalt take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? What have I done to deserve your grace?" And here is the reality: she did nothing. And just as we do nothing to deserve the grace from an almighty God. And so with that, look at verses 11 through 13. "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." Point number one, when we talk about the giving and the gleaning, is this: when we speak of the blessings are of God. The blessings are of God. Now, here's what I want you to be careful with. We can think that in our hard work and in our studies and in our preparation, we have done the job. And that head of ours begins to swell, doesn't it? And because I put in the study, and because I put in the work, and because I sacrifices this, the sacrifice, this is what I have done. Every good gift comes from above. That's what the Bible teaches us. And the blessings that we need to understand that we are afforded to are by the grace of God and originate with God. My prayer this morning is that you have found grace through Jesus Christ and that you realize you don't deserve it. But God has been gracious to us, number one, by saving our sin-filled souls. And from there, God has blessed us through our obedience. In this field, here's what I want you to know. Boaz sees this woman working and working hard, but what he may not be aware of is God is working in the field as well. And God is working on His own heart, and God is working in the life of Ruth. As Boaz is talking to Ruth, now he not only knows her story, he begins to say, "From a distance I have watched you. From a distance I have learned your story. I know that you lost your husband. I know that you're taking care of your mother-in-law." God bless her, right? "I know you're looking for food. I know you don't have family. I know you're not from around here. I know you're at the bottom of the totem pole. But here's what I know. I know that God is working." Some of you in here today may be thinking, "I can do this on my own." Early in the ministry, that's what I thought. I could do this. I don't need anybody, just me and God. And that will get you in a humble place. If you leave here with nothing else today, here's what I hope you hear. You need Jesus. Boaz's blessing, or Boaz's prayer, is uttered up in verse number 12. Look there with me, if you will. As he knows this woman, he says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." What a blessing, what a prayer. As he hears Ruth's story, he sees her work, he knows her past, and the prayer is this: God, please take care of her and repay her for what she has been through. Here's the reality: even though Boaz knows her story, Boaz does not know her heart. God does. I look out across this sanctuary this morning, and there are many joining online, but I look across this sanctuary and I know bits and pieces of your story. I know part of what you're going through. I know part of the diagnosis, and I know some of that, but I only know a part of it. But here's what you need to know: God knows the whole story. God knows your heart, and God knows your hurt. God knows your loss, and God knows your desperation. Why would Ruth be in the field? Because she has nothing. It's not about it being Boaz's possessions. It's about allowing God to work through what he has. And praise God, Boaz is a godly man. And he leaves the outer edges of his field for this woman just to come and pick what's left over so that she could have food. This morning, when we think about the blessings of God, I want you to see that Boaz realizes that the blessings of his field don't all go to him. They need to take care of other people, those that may be less fortunate than he is. And so, as he learns this woman's story, God is working not only in the life of Ruth, but God is at work in Boaz's heart. The first thing you need to see today are the blessings of God. You have done nothing to earn them. By his grace they come. Look at verses 14 through 18. "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her a parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she reserved after she was sufficed." The blessings of God, we've seen those. Now, what about the blessings of hard work? I believe that God has a hand in our story, and I believe that we have a hand in our story. By our simple obedience to an almighty God, that God can use us for his glory and his glory alone. After talking to her, Boaz says this: "Why don't you meet me for lunch?" That's Jeffrey's version. "Why don't you meet me for lunch? I'm paying. If anybody offers to pay for dinner, go." I say that saying this because there's blessings in those times. Boaz, as he offers to provide lunch and they meet for lunch, I want you to see what happens here in the beginning of verse number 14. At mealtime, come hither, they ate, dipped the morsel in vinegar, and she sat beside the reapers. He gave her some corn, she ate, and then she left, according to the end of verse number 14. So she came, she shared that meal, she went back to work. Because there was work still to do. She did not cut out at lunchtime, but she worked from early morning to evening as she harvested what she needed to provide for herself and for her mother-in-law. That not only involved harvesting the grain, but it also involved separating it as well. So she harvested the grain, and then after she finished that, she took that grain and she began to winnow it. She began to beat it to separate the grain and the chaff. And after she finishes all of that, here's what the Bible says. A day's work, she got 5 gallons of grain. One day's work. Two women would live off that 5 gallons of grain for maybe 2 weeks. And here's what I want you to see. As God gave the opportunity and God provided the field and God gave her the crop to reap, she still had to do the work. I wonder today how many of us Christians are praying for ministry and opportunity and it falls in our lap and we don't recognize it. She has to get in the field. There's time for lunch, but we must get back to work. And as she goes to the field, here's what I want you to realize. Blessings of hard work. The first thing I want you to recognize is this. Blessings come through other people. Blessings come from other people. We see that exemplified through the life of Boaz. Because he prayed for this woman. He provided lunch for this woman. He has the parcel of land that she picks off of. It's his produce. He offered his protection. And yet God is using this man to be a blessing in the life of Ruth. And there are times that God wants to use us because we know him and because we have a relationship to be a blessing that somebody that may not even know Jesus. It's not that hard. But sometimes when it falls in our laps, we say, oh, I got to pray about this. Or God, it's not the right timing. Here's what I've learned. Can I share you what I've learned in ministry? If you can meet a need, meet it. God will never not bless you for that. If somebody needs a meal and you've got $5 in your pocket, put it in their hand. You cannot go wrong. If you cross the paths with somebody that needs help and you walk away from that, oh, Christian, I wonder if we do a disservice to God and His name in doing so. The blessings of hard work on our end. God just uses us as an instrument for His glory. So whatever comes into my life and whatever goes in my pocket and whatever is in my home, I pray that God uses it for His glory. And so church, look for those opportunities. Here's what I want to challenge you with this week. Look for the opportunity to be a blessing. Not to just receive one. As Boaz opens that field, Ruth begins to work. And then the blessings come through hard work. He has watched this woman walk around the outskirts of that field and pick what's left over. And here's what Boaz says. Hey guys, workers, don't do that anymore. Here's what I want you to do. Make it easier for her. Instead of taking everything, why don't you drop a little bit and leave a little bit, pile it up for her, put it in a basket, let her take that. It's okay. There's some things that God has put in our baskets, and we take them home and say, no, God, these are mine. And we build up treasures and storehouses for ourselves, and there's warnings about that. And so as you look around at your basket this week, here's all I ask you to say. Hey, you've worked hard, yes. And I'm going to go on a soapbox. I'm not for handouts and freebies. But when you see somebody working and trying, and you can be a blessing to their lives. I'm not standing here today as the best pastor. For 16 years, I don't even consider myself a good machinist. But God allowed the blessings of a work life that we can impact others. And this is not for me to toot my horn, but you've done the same thing. You've given your life to hard work, to the field. And if there's somebody in your field that needs something that you can provide from your field, just be a blessing. Just be that blessing. It's amazing what happens when you look around as Ruth begins to collect, and she piles up and she gets her 5-gallon bucket, and she's worked hard, and she's worked hard for that, and she takes it back home to Naomi. Because this is what the work was for. The third thing I want you to see is this, the blessings shared with others. Look at verse number 18. It says, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave it to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So this speaks to two things. It speaks to the bucket of barley that she has harvested, but it also speaks to the leftover lunch that was there. She took both of those things home. She gave them to Ruth, and she said, now you take of these blessings. Boaz was a blessing to her, and now she has been a blessing to somebody else. Maybe you've been through a drive-thru, and somebody in front of you has paid for your meal. Have any of you experienced that? Oh, God bless you. Well, I have. I've been on both ends of it. I've been a recipient. When I get to the window, they said, hey, your meal is paid for. And I'm like, that's wonderful. What is my response? Give me the guy behind me. Because I want to pass on that blessing. And what happens is this, friends. Where do the blessings stop? They start with God. Where do they stop? With us. When we quit passing and being a blessing to others. Ruth was blessed by the field of Boaz, and Ruth passed it along to Naomi, and Naomi begins this conversation, and we'll get into that in a second, but Ruth passes that blessing along to Naomi. Remember, share the blessing. The third thing is, and I'm going to pick up because I look at my watch and we've got to go. Verse number 19 and 20. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. The third thing I want you to see is the emptiness of blessing. The emptiness of blessing. We have seen this day play out for Ruth. We've seen God's blessing as she has been able to reap in the field and the opportunity for food and meeting Boaz. We see that hard work and the blessing pay off. And now 2 weeks, they're able to eat off of that. But also what we see is this. Now, Naomi is met with the food that she needs. As she went back to her hometown, many of you know this because you have been with me from the beginning. She went back an empty woman. She went back wondering how she would be cared for and what would be provided. And her first thing is, we've got to go into the fields to fend for ourselves. This is an answered prayer. Her questions are questions of astonishment. Ruth, where'd you go to work today? How did you get all this in one day? Naomi is amazed and pronounces a blessing upon whoever this person may be. Whoever's field she went in, God bless that one. Twice in both verses, or once in both verses, she says, "Blessed be he," which is speaking to Boaz. It is God's man, but the blessing must come from the Lord. And so today, I want you to know, this is the same woman that told God, "I'm an empty woman." That told God, "I'm a bitter woman." And as she's seen the reaping of the harvest, now she sees the blessings that are coming. What makes somebody go from being so empty to recognizing the hand of God as being blessed? God must work. There's no amount of money. You can't write a check big enough to fill that empty spot in somebody's life unless they recognize the blessings of God. And so today, maybe you came to church this morning and your life seems like it's empty, just like Naomi. Empty people can become full again. That's what I want you to see. This woman just knows that unless something happens, unless someone intervenes, I'm good for dead. And then food shows up. What's your spiritual gas hand on today? Some of you may be sitting here today and say, "I'm half full." I'm going to be that guy. You're also half empty. My wife is not in this room today. She's good till she gets down to a quarter tank. She's good. She doesn't look for the gas station, though she drives by one every day, until the gas hand gets a little lower. Y'all gonna have to edit that out, okay? Jeffrey, if I'm at half a tank, I'm looking for somewhere to fill up. But here's the reality. I'm not talking about gas this morning. I'm talking about God. And some of your lights are blinking this morning because you're empty. You're on empty, and in reality, you're past empty. You're running on the fumes of what you can muster. And here's the reality. There is blessing, even in the emptiness. But you've got to find that blessing only through the hand of an almighty God. Just as she would blame God for her bitterness and her emptiness, now she is rejoicing because God has answered her prayer. And here's what I want you to know. God does answer prayer. Amen, church? But also, that emptiness has a promise. At the end of verse number 20, you see the man is near kin to us. He is one of our next kinsmen. As now Naomi is beginning to see the hand of God work through the life of Boaz, here's what she is rejoicing. This man is of close kin. This man can redeem. There is hope for my family and the lineage to continue because there is a kinsman redeemer. Now, I want to very quickly go through this. We will get more to this in chapter number 4. But a kinsman redeemer had to be a male relative who had the opportunity or responsibility to help a relative in trouble or in need. The idea comes from the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy in your Old Testament, but is one that comes to rescue the family. And they could rescue with land. So this kinsman redeemer, if you had to sell your land because you needed money, this kinsman redeemer could come and redeem the land. It could redeem the family name, as in this instance, if the family is going to die off, there could be somebody that comes and rescues and continues that family name. It also could help the poor in a situation when they had to sell everything. They could redeem in that fashion as well. But we see this kinsman redeemer come on scene. But there is a catch, and you can't miss this. The kinsman must be willing to redeem. So on one side, there are these two women that say, our family has hope. There's hope. And on the other side, there's also wonder, do you think he will? Notice the language here in verse number 20 that you see, he is one of our next kinsmen. Do not overlook that. Most of you know the end of the story. He is one of them. So that means there are multiple there. Who is willing to redeem? Now they go to bed. They go to the kitchen with their barley. They begin to process it. And the work begins. And that ends our chapter. Look at verses 21 through 23. And Ruth, a Moabitess, said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they ended my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. The fourth point today is this, is a continuation of blessing. The harvest will continue. The work will continue. The food will continue. That's the first thing. But there is safety in the field. And here's what she is recommended to do, to stay in that field and stay near the women that are in that field, the workers that are there as well, and that safety net will continue. Those words, don't leave the field. Don't leave the blessing. Now listen to me. You have heard that saying, there are bigger fish in the pond, right? And sometimes we spend our life fishing and we expect to fish and fish and fish. And we've caught enough, but we always want the bigger fish. Maybe we want bragging rights. And so we just continue to fish when God has already supplied what we need. Here's where I'm going with that. There were other fields. There were other opportunities. And here is the godly wisdom. Stay in the field. Because there's blessing there. Maybe today you're surveying opportunities that are out there. They come all of our ways. Bigger is not always better. Sometimes the blessing is staying exactly where you are. And that was the advice that was given to Ruth. Stay where you are. The last thing is that we're told as we end out the chapter is this. Continue through the seasons. In verse number 23 it says, to glean into the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. So she had to stay through the season. Stay with the maidens. Stay with Naomi. And stay in the field. So how do we boil this sermon down today? It's time to go. What do we think about blessings? Today, do you realize that those blessings, every blessing that you consider that a blessing in your life, has come to you by the very hand of God? And somehow that blessing is an inner joy to your spirit that you're thankful to God for. You need to look within. You need to look at your families. You need to look at your friend circles. You need to look into your workplace. You need to look into your church family. All of these are blessings. And they originate from the hand of God. Through situations and through people, we are able to reap blessing, but we need to give blessing as well. People are in our lives for a reason, and God has placed them there. One, to be a blessing to us, but my prayer as Christian men and women, that we can be a blessing to others. Today, Christian, keep your eyes on the Lord. And just when you don't think that God is working, guess what? He may show up in the field that you're working in. Trust Him to do that. Maybe today, child of God, there's an emptiness in your life. There's something that you're longing for. And until God works, and until God shows up, you're still going to be bitter and empty. Here's what I want you to know. God always shows up for the child of God. Today, maybe you're here, and there's an emptiness in your life because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is His grace and it is His blessing that you even are able to breathe in and breathe out. There is no greater emptiness in life than a life that is without Jesus. There is no hopeless situation greater than that, a hopelessness that is without Jesus. But here is the reality. Just as Naomi and Ruth realize there is a Redeemer today, you need to understand, if you are hearing this, there is a Redeemer. And His name is Jesus. Today, if you'll just humbly come before Him saying, Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm a sin-filled man or woman, boy or girl, knowing that I can't do it on my own, that by Your grace and Your mercy, You sent Jesus to a cross to die for my sin and to make that payment on my behalf. God, please save my wretched soul. God will do that work today. Today, you can and will be redeemed if you will trust Him by faith. This altar is open for all of us. What's going on in your field? Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this day. And thank You for Your word. God, I pray, Lord, today that You will use it now, Lord, to cultivate life. Lord, life that should spring forth from the Christian, Lord, through blessings and being a blessing. Lord, today, maybe there's a Christian that needs that right spirit renewed within them. God, I pray that You would work in that heart and in that life. God, teach us to be a blessing on behalf of You to a world that needs You. Lord, for that one that is in this room that just feels empty because they don't have Jesus, God, I pray Your Holy Spirit will do that work now. Thank You for the opportunity to come before You and to trust You. And as a family that is gathered together today, Lord, we trust You to do that work. We surrender our fields. We surrender our lives. We surrender our future. Lord, today, may we be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.